Hello and welcome back. It's been a little bit of a longer vacation, I guess, but we're back after 2 weeks. Today, it's all going to be about March Madness because there are a lot of games to go through. I mean, the point system on the NCAA brackets is like 10 points per tournament, and it's like 160 points or whatever. So there's a lot of games. To start, I'm going to start with the Eastern region since that was the first region that was selected. So I think it only makes sense to start there. So the first game is UConn versus Stetson. I think UConn should win that game pretty handily. There's no real explanation for it, but UConn has just looked phenomenal all year long, and I don't see them losing in the first round. They're probably the safest one seed out of the four, I think, like out of the four regions. Then we have FAU versus Northwestern. Now, these 8-9 matchups are really tricky just because it's a toss-up. Like, you can pick either one, and it's basically 50-50. But this year, FAU looked a little bit shaky to me. I mean, they had some great wins early on in the year. Like, they beat Arizona. But other than that, they don't have the strength of schedule that Northwestern has, I don't think. And FAU kind of got cold in their in their conference tournament. So for that reason, I'm going to pick Northwestern. And Northwestern in the Big Ten has been kind of a sleeper team. They're not the only sleeper team that I think is in the Big Ten, but Northwestern is definitely one of those teams. And Northwestern has beaten Purdue before, which is also really good for their resume. Now we've got our first 5-12 matchup. We have San Diego State versus UAB. Now, since this is in the East, San Diego State is going to have to travel all the way from the West Coast. So even though I think San Diego State is one of the best Mountain West teams, I mean, they did make it to their conference championship final game. They did lose to New Mexico, but they made it there nonetheless. So they are one of the top two teams from the Mountain West making their way into the tournament. But I think that traveling across the country is going to be a little bit too much for them. UAB is on that East Coast. I mean, their game is in Spokane Veterans Memorial Arena, which is in Spokane. It says Washington. That doesn't make any sense since it's the East region. But I still think San Diego State is gonna lose in this first matchup. They just, compared to last year, I don't think they look as good. They still looked good. They were good enough to make it to their conference championship, but I don't think they're gonna make it past that first round. I think UAB is gonna get them in that first game. Then we've got Auburn and Yale for the 4 versus 13 in that region. Yale and those Ivy League schools are really good from behind the three-point line, but Auburn is a very fast-paced team, and I think that pace is going to be too much for Yale to handle. And like, Yale's defense is, I don't think they're going to be able to handle that for the entirety of the game. I could see it being close in the first half. It being maybe like 3 points separating the two teams. I think Yale could get hot maybe at the beginning of the game, but Auburn will make some adjustments in the second half, and then they'll run away with that. So I'm going to have Auburn moving on out of those two teams. Now we've got BYU and I'm going to struggle pronouncing this one. Duquesne, I think. It's a 6-11 seed. From what I've seen online, a lot of people are picking Duquesne as their upset, as their 6-11 upset, as one of them. I don't think you should underestimate BYU. I mean, they played a tough Big 12 conference schedule. They have beaten notable teams in the Big 12, such as Kansas. Granted, Kansas did kind of fall apart at the end of the year, but they beat Kansas when they were at strength. So I give them credit there. I think BYU gets hot, and I think they run away with the win against Duquesne. I'm sorry, any Duquesne fans, if I'm mispronouncing your team's name. All right, now we've got Illinois versus Morehead State. Now, this one's tricky for me just because I don't trust Illinois as a March Madness team. They have a high ceiling every year, and then they always go out earlier than they're supposed to. And the past 2 years now, the Big Ten tournament conference champion has lost in the first round. Iowa losing to Richmond 2 years ago, and of course, Purdue last year losing to FDU. But Illinois does also have one of the better offenses. I think for me, if Illinois wins against Morehead State, they're not going to make it past BYU because I don't think their defense is going to be able to handle BYU's perimeter shooting. And I think also this is kind of a risky pick too, but I'm going to pick Morehead State because I think Illinois losing in the Big Ten Conference Championship, the way they got there and won, it's a little questionable to me. A lot of the calls went their way. They almost lost to Ohio State. They almost lost to Nebraska. I think the referees kind of saved them a little bit. And that happens a lot with Purdue, too, in my opinion. The referees always seem to have their backs. So I think Morehead State is going to sneak up on them. And I think Morehead State also has they have a better defense. Their points per game is almost 10 points better than Illinois. So they allow 10 less points than Illinois does. And Illinois' offense is kind of in the same boat. They average 84.4 points a game. Morehead State offers 75.5 points a game. But I think defense in March Madness is the most important thing because especially for those teams that rely on good guard play, if your guards aren't hot and you're not hitting shots, you have defense to fall back on. So that way the opposing team doesn't get too far ahead and you can maybe get hot in the second half and get the win. Next game is Washington State versus Drake. Now, Drake had a big win over Indiana State in their conference championship game. It's also partly why Indiana State is not in the tournament this year because of that loss to Drake. Because conference champions have a guaranteed bid into the tournament. Even with that said, though, I think Washington State runs a very unique defense. And the Pac-12 historically does, even though they don't normally bring in a lot of teams, they do historically do well in the tournament. And the Pac-12 teams this year, like since it's the last year, I think the Pac-12 is going to rally and they're going to make some moves in this tournament. So even though the 10-7 Drake Washington State game, from what I've seen, is kind of a popular pick as an upset, I am going to go with Washington State on this one. And then the last game in the round of 64 in the Eastern region, Iowa State versus South Dakota State. Now, in years past, at least one two seed has always lost to a 15 seed. However, Iowa State, I think, is probably the strongest two seed out of the four two seeds that are in the tournament this year. I think if I'm ranking the two seeds from most safe to least safe in this tournament, I would say Iowa State is the safest. Arizona is the second safest, even though they lost to Princeton last year. But Arizona is a different team this year with the addition of Caleb Love. Then Marquette and then Tennessee. And honestly, for me, Marquette and Tennessee are kind of interchangeable because both do pretty bad in the tournament every year, despite their high seeds. So I'm going to take Iowa State over South Dakota State because Iowa State also has an elite defense like Washington State. South Dakota State is good at perimeter shooting, but I think Iowa State's defense is going to be too much for them to handle. All right, now back up to the top of the Eastern region. We have UConn versus Northwestern. Now, as last year's champions, they basically have the same roster as last year. And I don't see them losing to Northwestern. I know it's really hard to repeat in March Madness, especially because you get different matchups. UConn won last year as, I believe, a 3 or 4 seed. So now they're going to have different kinds of matchups since they're the 1 seed. But I don't think Northwestern matches up very well against UConn. And some of the Big Ten and the Big Ten teams have kind of been off and on. Like they get hot quickly, but they also get cold quickly. So I think the safe pick in this game is UConn. Then I have number 12 UAB versus number 4 Auburn. I think Auburn should get the win pretty easily against UAB. I don't think their run is going to last too long. So I'm going to take Auburn. Then I've got BYU versus Morehead State. Kind of like with Auburn, UAB, I think Morehead State's Cinderella run ends there. I'm going to pick BYU to move on to the Sweet 16. Then I have Washington State versus Iowa State. Now, I think Washington State, out of the 4 Pac-12 teams in there, is the third best one. I think with the Pac-12 teams, I think it goes right now Oregon, because Oregon did win their championship. So I have Oregon on top, then Arizona, then Washington State, and then Colorado, even though Colorado beat Washington State. I think Colorado has a little bit of a younger roster, and when I watched them play against Oregon in the conference championship game, they were making some mistakes, just like some rookie mistakes, that leads me to not be as confident in Colorado. Plus, Colorado has a play-in game today, actually, at 4:30. But I think Washington State will be, just because of the path, going up against an elite defense like Iowa State, I think it's going to be too much for this Washington State team. I've watched Iowa State all year long. I love watching Iowa State. Their defense is so fun to watch, and they know how to shut down teams. So I'm going to have a Big 12 matchup going into the Sweet 16 with Iowa State versus BYU. Now back up to the top with UConn versus Auburn. I think UConn wins this one. I think UConn is the better all-around team. They can play at whatever pace, and I think they can also keep up with Auburn. Honestly, I'm surprised that why am I blanking on his name? He's the center for UConn, but I'm genuinely surprised that he didn't win Player of the Year over Zach Edey. I love the way he plays. I think he's very dynamic with this team, and he can hit his free throws. UConn is great beyond the arc. They're good inside. They can hit free throws. They can play fast. They can play slow. they can do whatever they want against Auburn. Auburn likes to play foot on the gas all the time, and I think that is going to cause Auburn to make some mistakes because of UConn's defense, so I'm going to have UConn going into my Elite Eight. Now for this matchup, this rematch between Iowa State and BYU, two Big 12 teams here. Like I kind of said earlier, if you're not hot, you have defense to fall back on. BYU is great from outside. Iowa State is great at defense. And I think Iowa State's defense is better than BYU's. So for that reason, I'm going to have Iowa State moving on over BYU. So I guess the Elite Eight is kind of chalk between UConn and Iowa State. However, I think that Iowa State is going to beat UConn. And I say that because for the longest time, the repeat champion has not made it back to the championship game. I think out of all the teams in the tournament, I think Iowa State gives UConn the most problems. And I think that they're gonna get hot in this game, going up against the best team in the Big East and their region. I think Iowa State gets hot early, and their defense is going to be able to lock UConn down. So I have Iowa State as my Eastern region champion. All right, now I'm going to stay up at the top, and I'm going to go in the Southern region, with the first match being Houston versus Longwood. I think Houston wins that pretty handily. I know after their loss to Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game, Houston might seem like a weaker team, but Houston is also a very vengeful team. I remember watching their game against Kansas towards the end of the year, and they took that, and they lost to Kansas earlier in the year because they played Kansas twice in their schedule. They took that loss personally, even though it was a road loss, but they took the loss against Kansas personally. And then they go out in that game and beat Kansas by 30, just because. When I watched them play that game, they played extremely fast, extremely aggressive. They forced Kansas to make turnovers. It was a sight to behold, I will say. So I think Houston is hands down going to beat Longwood. They're going to just absolutely dominate them. I don't see Houston losing that game at all. Next is the Nebraska-Texas A&M game. Now, this one's kind of tricky just because Nebraska is that other sleeper team in the Big Ten that I was talking about earlier when I was talking about the Northwestern game. But I don't think their defense holds up the same as Texas A&M's defense does. Nebraska relies a lot on shooting. I mean, it's so hard for me to pick against Nebraska because the preseason rankings for the Big Ten, Nebraska was ranked 13th. And at the end of the year, they were ranked 3rd out of the Big Ten. So it's not hard to, I mean, it's hard to not notice that. And it's really hard to not pick them. But at the same time, I know Texas A&M played a tougher SEC schedule, which is weird to say because normally I feel like you don't say that the SEC is tough in basketball just because normally it's dominated by either Kentucky or Tennessee. But this year was different. Lots of the SEC teams were really tough this year, I will say. A lot of them made the top 25. But I think Texas A&M's defense is going to be too much for Nebraska. I think they shut them down, sadly. So I'm going to have Texas A&M over Nebraska. Now we have number 5 Wisconsin versus number 12 James Madison. This one is a popular upset pick because James Madison is on one of the hottest streaks right now in college basketball. They're 31-3. They won their conference championship. The game is in Brooklyn, New York, which is not far from JMU. JMU is located in Virginia, so it's not that far of a drive for them, or flight, or however they get there. And I agree with the popularity. I think JMU is going to beat Wisconsin. Even though Wisconsin beat Purdue, they were kind of a cold team in that tournament, and I don't think they're going to flip the switch against JMU. I think JMU is going to shock them, and then that'll be it. Next game is Duke versus Vermont. Duke, I have a lot of feelings about Duke. I must say, because I said before, they are probably the most overrated team in college basketball. And like, it definitely helps my case in that they got swept by North Carolina and they lost to NC State in really, really commanding fashion by them in the ACC tournament. So I'm almost inclined to pick Vermont over Duke, just because Duke going into this tournament is coming in cold. I mean, Vermont, they are better on defense. They allow only 63 points per game. And with the cold Duke team, I think I'm going to pick Vermont. I think their defense is going to be too much for Duke. Duke already is kind of in shambles going into this tournament. So I think Duke loses in a shocker in the first round. I think it'll be close, but I think Vermont is just going to be too much for Duke to handle this year. Now we've got, speaking of NC State, we have Texas Tech versus NC State, 6-11 matchup. Now, Texas Tech is in the Big 12, so they definitely have the stronger schedule. However, NC State did make history last week in winning the ACC tournament, playing 5 games in a row. And in that game that they won against North Carolina, their team was not 100%. Like, one of them had a groin injury, and another one, like, had a bruised knee. Like, they were not 100% playing North Carolina, and they still won. At the same time, Texas Tech, Big 12 team, great defense, strength of schedule is better. But I so badly want to see the Cinderella story continue with NC State. I mean, just looking at the stats, NC State only scores like 1 point per game more on average than Texas Tech does. Texas Tech is a little bit better on defense. They only allow 69 points per game. North Carolina State allows 72.7 points per game, so 73 points per game. But I think I'm going to go with the hotter team in NC State as my 6-11 upset. Oh, I accidentally hit the microphone, my bad. All right, now we've got Kentucky versus Oakland. Now, Kentucky, they were definitely cold going into the SEC tournament. They did lose their first game, being, I think, the 2 seed in that tournament, which, not a good look for Kentucky. Oakland, from what I've heard, is a very defensive team. I mean, looking at the stats here, like, Kentucky scores 89.4 points per game, but they also allow teams to score 79.7 points per game. Oakland only allows 72.9 points per game, but scores 76.4. Now, I think even though Kentucky is technically better against top 25 teams, two of the games that they played were against Tennessee. And I think Tennessee, even though they're a 2 seed, is kind of overrated. They always do bad. Tennessee always does worse than what they're supposed to in March. And they also lost in the SEC tournament in, I think, the quarterfinal, which is not good. So I'm really inclined to pick Oakland, but I think I'm going to pick Kentucky. I feel like Rick Calipari is going to have something cooked up against this Oakland team. And I think it will be close. And I think this one actually will go into overtime as well. I mean, last year we saw a lot of these first games go into overtime. But I think this Kentucky-Oakland one is one that will go into overtime. So I'm going to have, but I have Kentucky pulling out in the end. So it's, Kentucky's going to move on to the round of 32. Next game is Florida versus either Boise State or Colorado. Now, like I said earlier, I think Pac-12 is going to, I guess, have a closing goodbye. Like, they're going to, I think Pac-12 is going to do good in this tournament. I feel like there's kind of a lot of disrespect on the Pac-12. I think Colorado beats Boise State in their play-in game today. But Florida, going up against Florida as their first game, that is tough. I mean, Florida made it to the SEC championship game, but Florida does also have a couple of injuries. So I think Colorado is going to sneak by Florida, even though I love I love what Florida did this year as a team. But I think Colorado is going to be able to work around Florida's injuries, and they're going to be able to put on a better performance. And I think this one also will probably go into overtime. And the last game for the round of 64 in the South, Marquette versus Western Kentucky. Now, I really, you know what? Yes, we are going to do that. Western Kentucky plays a much faster paced game than any of the other teams that are in the tournament. Marquette's going to have a guy coming back from being injured. He's their star player, but it does take time to readjust when you've gotten used to playing without one of your key players. It changes the whole team dynamic, and I think that is going to affect Marquette's play. Even though they're going to have one of their benefactors back playing for them, I think Western Kentucky is going to stun them early, and I'm going to have Western Kentucky as my 215 upset over Marquette. Now for the round of 32, we have Houston versus Texas A&M. Now in some of my brackets, because I've made six of them already, this will be number seven. Well, I've made a lot more than six. I've made 10, actually, because I've made five on ESPN. This will be number six on ESPN. I think that's why I said six. And then I made one on paper. And then I made three on NCAA's website. So, yeah, I've got 10. Now, both of these teams are pretty defensive-minded, very focused on defense. But I think Houston's offense is more dynamic than Texas A&M's offense. I think this game is close. A good old, you know, Texas showdown, like, in this game. But I think Houston's going to come out on top here. So I'm going to have Houston going to the Sweet 16. Then we've got James Madison versus Vermont. I think James Madison is going to be too much for Vermont. I think they're going to continue their winning streak. They're going to go in and beat Vermont. I mean, Vermont is, they've got a good defense, but I think James Madison, after beating Wisconsin, is going to have a lot of momentum going in. I mean, granted, Vermont will have beaten Duke, but I think James Madison and their offense is going to be too much for Vermont. Then we've got NC State versus Kentucky. This is where it's going to kind of go a little crazy. I'm going to pick NC State over Kentucky. I think after a tough win over Oakland, I think Kentucky's going to get a little bit overconfident. NC State is hot. I think they keep that going after winning against Texas Tech and shutting them down. I think, yeah, I'm going to have NC State going to the Sweet 16. Then we've got Western Kentucky versus either Boise State or Colorado. I mean, at this point, I think I might just start saying Colorado because I'm pretty confident that Colorado is going to win that first game. Anyways, I'm going to have Colorado moving on. I think Colorado, they're big on the inside, and they're going to be able to slow down Western Kentucky. And I think Colorado will dominate them. I don't think it'll be too close. So I'm going to have Colorado moving on. Now for the last two games, I'm going to have James Madison's Cinderella story ending by losing to Houston. Houston's just too dynamic for me. It's really hard to not pick Houston to win in these games. So I'm going to have Houston onward to the Elite Eight. And I think the Cinderella story of NC State will continue. I think Colorado will lose to NC State in the Sweet 16. NC State, they're a very interesting team. Like, they're not the biggest team, but they're also not the smallest team. But the way they play on the inside is really fun to watch. They're center Burns. He's not the tallest guy, but he's big and he moves really well inside. And I think that is going to throw off Colorado. I think he's going to be the key player in that game for sure. But I have NC State's Cinderella story ending after they play Houston. I'm going to have Houston going to the Final Four. Now we're going to move on to I'll get back to the Midwest. I wanted to do that one first, but we're going to do the West first. Okay. So first game is North Carolina versus Wagner. Both those teams are traveling. Both those teams are on the East Coast in spite of being in the West region this year. Doesn't make sense, but... But yeah, no, North Carolina's West because they were top four in the AP poll. And UConn, after Houston lost to Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament, became number one. And UConn is also on the East Coast. So UConn, I guess, got dibs. They won. They got the dibs. So North Carolina had to move out West. Although I don't know why they didn't move Purdue out west, but oh well. Anyway, I think North Carolina is going to win that first game despite having to travel. They are kind of lucky that the 16 seed is also traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast. The other 16 seed in that play-in game that was played earlier was also on the East Coast. So no matter who won that play-in game, North Carolina was going to be playing someone on the East Coast. Then we've got Mississippi State versus Michigan State. Now, a lot of people are picking Michigan State because Tom Izzo's always dancing in March, and he knows what it takes to win in March. But Michigan State has been too inconsistent for this year for me. They've been one of the most up and down teams so far this year. And Mississippi State had some great wins in the SEC tournament. It's really hard not to pick Mississippi State to move on to the round of 32. It'll be close, but I think Mississippi State is going to come out on top. I mean, we can look at their points per game and defense. I mean, they're pretty even in both those categories. Michigan State's defense is slightly better, but Mississippi State is also better against the top 25 teams. So I think this will be a first-round exit for Michigan State. Now I've got St. Mary's and Grand Canyon. This one is also a pretty popular 5-12 upset because St. Mary's has pretty weak in conference play this year because Gonzaga is a little is a weaker team than they have been in the past. And no one else in their conference, in my opinion, is really close to St. Mary's besides Gonzaga. And going up against Grand Canyon in their first match is kind of interesting because Grand Canyon has one of the better records. They're 29-4. But St. Mary's defense is really good. They only allow 58.7 points per game. And they're 2-1 against top 25, while GCU is only 1-0 versus top 25. So St. Mary's, even though they had a weaker schedule, I think, this year than in the past, they still have a stronger schedule than Washington State does. And offensively, they're both pretty even. They both average about the same points per game. GCU just under 80 points per game, and St. Mary's at 74 points per game. So I think I'm going to go against the upset. I'm going to pick St. Mary's to win. I think after that game, they could make a very interesting run, especially as a team that is on the West Coast. And we'll get to that once we pick the next couple games. Now I've got Alabama versus Charleston. Both these teams traveling from a little bit further away, like from the South all the way over to the West Coast. But Alabama's defense, I feel like they're going to get hot in this first game, and I think they're going to beat Charleston. They both kind of have similar playing styles, but Alabama has the better strength of schedule, and I feel like they get hot a lot more than Charleston does, so I'm going to have Alabama moving on. Then we've got number 6 Clemson versus number 11 New Mexico. There's been a lot of hype around New Mexico after they won the Mountain West Championship, from what I've seen. A lot of people are getting behind New Mexico here. In Clemson, they're ranked high, but I think that's partially because of how they started this year. Clemson started as a top 25 team, but at the end of the year, they kind of fell off. They lost pretty early on in the ACC tournament, so they're kind of cold coming into this game. So I'm going to pick New Mexico, and New Mexico is a very feisty, very talented overall, like in all the areas, like overall. They're really good overall in all the categories, which is really good because that means they can find opportunities to score wherever. Then we've got Baylor versus Colgate. I'm going to pick Baylor in this first game. They're pretty good from the outside. They also play a very tough in-conference schedule. So I think this first game, they're going to be ready. They're going to be primed and ready to go. So Baylor, I've got Baylor over Colgate. And I think Colgate is very good from the outside as well. But Baylor's defense, I think, is significantly better. So I'm going to pick Baylor to win that game. Then we've got Dayton versus Nevada. Dayton kind of slid into the top 25 towards the end of the year. I mean, they fell off at the very end of the year, but they made it in like February. Nevada, a Mountain West team, they didn't make it to their conference final, but I feel like the Mountain West has been kind of disrespected going into this tournament. So I feel like this upset, like, I feel like that's why this upset is very popular. But I think Dayton is going to make a statement, and I think they're going to beat Nevada in this first game. So I'm going to have Dayton moving on to the round of 32. Now, the thing with Dayton also is back in 2019, which is the last time they made the tournament, it got canceled right before. So they didn't get a chance to show what they could do. And I feel like Dayton's been kind of holding on to that. So I think they're going to have a blowout game against Nevada in this first one. Finally, the last game in the round of 64, we've got, or at least in the West region, the last round of 64 game in the West region. We have Arizona versus Long Beach State. I'm going to have Arizona moving on. Long Beach State has kind of an interesting story going in. The coach agreed to resign after the conference tournament was over, but they won their conference tournament. So the coach, because the administration wanted to have him fired for his performance previously, but now he has a chance to go dancing in the tournament. But I think it's going to end there. I think Arizona's going to be too much. Their interior defense is really good. So it's going to be really hard for Long Beach State to go up against Arizona. Now, for the round of 32, we have, for the first game, we have North Carolina versus Mississippi State. I think North Carolina's going to get Mississippi State on this one. I kind of liked the SEC this year. I think they were slept on at the beginning of the year, but they brought a lot of teams into this tournament. But I think Mississippi State's run ends there anyways. North Carolina has Baycott on the inside. They've got Davis on the outside. I think that's just going to be too much for Mississippi State to handle. So I'm going to have North Carolina moving into the Sweet 16. Now I've got a defensive St. Mary's team versus an offensive Alabama team. Alabama kind of lives and dies on the three-point line. They take a lot of threes. And St. Mary's is very good at defending the three-point line. So I think St. Mary's is going to, even though their strength of schedule is kind of weak, I still think they're going to be able to handle Alabama and get the job done and move on. I think that game goes in overtime, though, with Alabama shooting a last-minute three to tie St. Mary's. But St. Mary's is good. I think Alabama's going to get in foul trouble in overtime, and then St. Mary's will win by free throws. Then there's a next game, New Mexico, Baylor. I think New Mexico is going to sneak by Baylor on this one. I feel like New Mexico's better, like, overall, like, on both ends of the ball. They're really good inside. Baylor's not as good inside, I don't think. And New Mexico kind of has, they're hot. I mean, they did win their conference championship. Baylor did not do so well in the Big 12 tournament. So I think New Mexico's going to get it done. Now, Dayton versus Arizona, I think Arizona should win that game. It'll be closer than you would expect, I think. Arizona this year has kind of been an off and off again, on again team. They get really hot, and then one game and the next game, they just get the crap beaten out of them. Like, it's not good. There's no real happy middle with Arizona, but I think Arizona is going to get it done against Dayton. Now I've got North Carolina versus St. Mary's. I think what happens a lot of times with St. Mary's is they get underestimated and, like, in the tournament. And I'm mainly speaking from experience, because there's been so many times where I've made a bracket and St. Mary's and Arizona most of the time are in the same region, and they always meet up and St. Mary's would beat them, and it would drive me crazy. And I think since St. Mary's has kind of more of a home court advantage, I think they're going to have more fans at their game against North Carolina. I think North Carolina is going to be tired out after their game against Mississippi. And I think St. Mary's defense is going to be too much. They're going to be able to lock down Davis and Baycott. They're a very disciplined team. So I'm going to have North Carolina making an early exit after a loss to St. Mary's. Now, this next pick is probably going to make my parents really mad, but and they know now that I've said that, who I'm going to pick for this game. I'm going to pick New Mexico over Arizona. I think Arizona's going to have an off day, and it's going to be the death of them. And New Mexico is going to capitalize on that. They're going to ice Arizona out. Arizona's not going to get anything done from behind the arc. And I think they're going to play down to New Mexico while also being cold. It's not going to be good. I think New Mexico is going to surprise Arizona and beat them. And now for this Elite Eight matchup, St. Mary's versus New Mexico. Do I do it? Do I do it? I think I do it. I think New Mexico is going to beat St. Mary's in a shocker. I'm sorry. I feel like this is crazy, but I mean, this is March, so anything can happen. But I mean, if we look at the stats comparing the two teams, New Mexico averages 81.5 points per game. I mean, their defense is weaker than St. Mary's, but they allow, it's not too bad. I mean, they allow 70.5 points per game. But I mean, scoring 81 points per game, almost 82 because it's 81.5, is a lot. And New Mexico also has a stronger strength of schedule, so I can understand why New Mexico's points per game would be down. So for them having 81.5 points per game, I think is the main thing we should probably look at in this game because of the strength of schedule. So I'm going to have New Mexico shocking St. Mary's and going on to face Iowa State in the Final Four in Glendale. And now for the last region, we have the Midwest. Now, Montana State and Grambling State, they're playing today at 7:25. I think I so badly want to pick Purdue to lose this game. I mean, not just because, you know, IU and we hate Purdue, but I mean, Purdue has lost to a 16 seed in the past. And something that I've been kind of thinking about with this game, because for so long, like, I've known Purdue was going to be a number one seed because of where they were ranked. But you know what's crazier than Virginia's story of being the first team to lose to a 16 seed in the tournament, and the next year being a one seed and then going on to win the national championship? Should be even crazier than that happening is if Purdue lost to the 16th seed in the first round for the second time in a row. And I think both Montana State and Grambling State, I think they're good from behind the arc. And I feel like Purdue's defense is really not that good, especially on inside, because I think they rely too much on Edie on the inside. And when I watched the Wisconsin-Purdue game in that semifinal for the Big Ten tournament, Purdue's defense was just letting everyone in. It was like, come on in. Come on in. Shoot a layup. Dunk on us. Here you go. We're all for it. And I think that's what caused Purdue to lose to Wisconsin. And I think that is what's going to cause Purdue to lose to Montana State or Grambling State. I mean, their interior defense, I think, is weak. Even though their guard play has improved, I still think that Purdue is going to lose that first game. And even if they lose that first game, I think they lose to whoever they play next in either Utah State or TCU. Speaking of which, Utah State versus TCU. I think TCU should win that game. They had, despite what their record says, which is 21-12, which compared to Utah State's record of 27-6 looks really bad. But you have to consider that TCU is in the Big 12. The in-conference play was nuts. Their record was 9-9, which tells me that they probably aren't the best on the road, but their defense and offense is basically on par with Utah State, Utah State being slightly better. But TCU has faced 11 top 25 opponents, while Utah State has only faced two. So I think the experience of TCU playing top-tier opponents, I think that is what's going to be the difference maker in this game. Plus, Utah State is kind of more on the West Coast, so they also do have to travel a little bit. So I'm going to pick TCU to beat Utah State. Now we've got number 5 Gonzaga versus number 12 McNeese. Now, lots of people are picking McNeese over Gonzaga, but I am going to pick Gonzaga over McNeese because last year, if I'm remembering correctly, Gonzaga was, a lot of people, including myself, had them being an early exit and leaving in the first round or the second round. But they went on to beat UCLA and go to the Elite Eight. They shocked a lot of people. I think Mark Few's coaching experience is going to be a big help in this game against McNeese. So I have Gonzaga moving on to the round of 32. Now, Samford versus Kansas. This one, I know Bill Self is an experienced, like, very good coach and everything, but they are going in, I guess, underhanded because Kevin McCullough is, he was confirmed to be out in that game against Samford. And I mean, as you can see, he's the top player on Kansas. He's their biggest difference maker. And I mainly say that because I also don't like Hunter Dickinson. But I think that Samford's offense is going to be too much for Kansas to handle. And I think they're going to lose it. I mean, Kansas is going to lose in a shocker against Samford. Now we've got South Carolina versus Oregon. Another 6-11 matchup. Oregon, I absolutely loved watching them in the Pac-12 championship game against Colorado. They just looked so complete. They looked like a very complete team. Their center, Dante, he looks way better than Edie. It looks like he puts in a lot more effort, too, to be completely honest. And I think even South Carolina was also kind of a surprise this year, too. But I think Oregon and their coach, like, he's a very experienced coach. He has taken Oregon far before. I think Oregon is kind of underrated. And also in years past, Oregon was kind of a mid-level seed, but then they go on to make a long run. So I'm going to have Oregon beating South Carolina. They've got Creighton versus Akron. Creighton, very good team. I think they get hot. And Akron's just not going to have what it takes to stop them on defense. Now I've got Texas versus Colorado State. After the beating that Virginia just took last night against Colorado State is going to beat Texas. They've got Tennessee versus St. Peter's. I think St. Peter's beats Tennessee in a shocker. I think they choke. Tennessee is cold going in. So St. Peter's is going to win. They've got, I'm going to have TCU moving on against the 16 seed. That should be no-brainer. Gonzaga moving on against Samford. And then I think Oregon beats Creighton in a shocker. Colorado State beats St. Peter's. Oregon beats Colorado State. And TCU beats Gonzaga. So we're going to have a 9 versus an 11 seed in the Elite Eight. And I think Oregon's going to take care of business against TCU. Now, the final four, I have Iowa State and Houston winning their respective games, and I think Houston wins that rematch against Iowa State because, again, Houston is a very vengeful team. So, yeah, there you have it. Good luck to everyone this March. I will see you all next week.